stuck with it, and I'm glad they did. If they hadn't, we wouldn't have been here, would we? And they just said, you know, hey, you know, this ain't worth it, I'm quitting. We'd be in trouble. In the book of Genesis, one of the things, the major thing I tried to bring out last week was that God had, when he created Adam and Eve, and they too were one.
Oh, okay.
They too were one flesh, and how that Bible said that it's not good that man should be alone, and God, you know, he made a help meet, and there wasn't no help meet amongst all the rest of creation. Okay, so, and, so God made him a help meet, and then it was a job of Adam. He was given a stewardship, and that stewardship was to take care of what God had created. He was to tend and care for the garden and take care of it. And we know then in chapter 3 how Satan had took one of the creatures, a serpent. I think he entered into that serpent, and that serpent yielded to him, and God allowed them to be tested. Now we know that God allowed this. I mean, this didn't take God by surprise. God knew what was going on. I mean, you know, he is omniscient, is he not? And if he didn't know that man was going to fail, we couldn't say Christ slain from the foundation of the world. It was, God already knew that man was going to fail and all this. And I can't, that stuff's too high for me. I can't explain it. I don't have to. God is going to explain all that to us as he sees fit. But the good thing is that God knew, you know, what was going on, and he wasn't surprised. He wasn't surprised that he was tested, and he wasn't surprised that he you know, failed in his testing. He wasn't surprised by that. But there was something that we see there. God had given him a job to do. He had given him a stewardship, and that was to take care of that garden and everything that was in there. And I asked this question. I said, it wasn't good that man was alone, and I don't know this, but I got to ask this question. If he was there when Eve was being tested, why didn't he do something? Why he sat there with his mouth shut? The Bible said he wasn't deceived. I mean, why didn't he, you know, stop what was happening? I don't really know. I can't say that I understand why. I don't know. But I don't think he was there. I think he was. It wasn't good that man should be alone, but he was alone. And then here Eve was here, you know, alone, and she was tested, and the Bible said she was deceived. And she admits that. Yeah, afterwards, she ate of that fruit, and I agree with what the brother brought out yesterday. I believe that Adam, being a type of Christ, when he saw that his wife had ate of that fruit and that she was going to die, he decided to die with her. He loved her that much that he took of death. He took death on himself freely. Just like our Lord and Savior did for us. I agree with that. But as soon as he did, and he entered into that fallen condition, look what happens. Does he take responsibility? When God said, hey, Adam, where you at, Adam? Now, God knew exactly where he was at, but he wanted Adam to admit where he was at. Bible said we confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God had made a provision for Adam in the promise, that Jesus Christ, he already knew, like I said, Christ slain from the foundation of the world. He hadn't told them that, but God knew that, and it was already planned. It was already in his foreknowledge. It was already in the Word of God. He said, well, it wasn't the Word of God. Yet it was. Thy Word, O God, is forever settled in heaven. It wasn't settled on earth. It was in heaven. Jesus Christ, being the living Word, the entire Bible was complete from the beginning. It wasn't added to as we went through time. God shared it with us as we went through time. As Brother Joe made mention yesterday about progressive revelation. It isn't that God, learned something new and wrote it down in his Bible. It was that God reveals it to us in its appropriate time. Well, now, but the thing of it is, Adam failed in his stewardship, and they sinned. And what does he do? Does he take responsibility? No, he blames God. Ultimately, he blamed God. He said, that woman that you gave me, she gave to me and I did eat. So ultimately he blamed God. If you hadn't given me that woman, I wouldn't be in this shape. And when he asked the woman, what's this that she had done? And she admitted the truth. She said, I was deceived and I took of the fruit and I did eat. I think there's a little something to that, because then God says to them that, he would put enmity between her seed and the devil's seed. He'd put enmity between them. He said, and it shall bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise his head. And so we see a promise there, and I believe she believed God. And I believe Adam believed God at that time. I believe that they believed them, and that's probably one of the first times you see faith coming to man, because it's something that he had not seen, but I think he believed God. You look over in Timothy, in 2 Timothy in 2:15, you'll find there a promise that the woman would be saved through childbearing. And you'll look at that. Now, we'll turn over there and read it, and so you know I'm not just kind of making this up. what did I say? 2 Timothy? No, Timothy. First Timothy. I should have this memorized, but I don't. I don't know. The older I get, the harder it is for me to memorize anything or remember anything. In 2:15, no, it's 2 Timothy.
It's 1 Timothy.
It is? Oh, yeah, you're right. It says, now Adam was not deceived, and the woman being deceived was in a transgression. Notwithstanding, I was looking at 1:15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, I see, I believe that they entered into faith even though they couldn't see this promise. I think they believed it and they started producing children. God told them to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And there was a promise that in childbearing that the woman would find salvation. And so we see now they failed to take care of the garden, but now will they fail in filling the earth? Because that was another thing that they were given to do. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So now I think she believes the promise of God. And the reason why I believe that, look over here in chapter 4, it said in verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. See, she was looking, she's giving God the credit. Said, I've got me a man from the Lord. Maybe she was thinking, this is the one, maybe, you know. She's looking for that, I think, that one that was going to destroy the works of Satan. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And she was looking for that salvation, I believe. She said, I have gotten me a man from the Lord. She didn't say, well, look what we done. She didn't take no credit. She gave the credit back to God. See, she kind of got her mind kind of on track right here. You know, she's giving God the credit and the glory for everything that's happening now. She, and here's what Adam said about his wife. He called her Eve because he said that she was the mother of all living. Well, they were dead, were they not? Wasn't Adam and Eve dead in trespasses and sins? They were dead. God told them, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know that they were driven out of the garden. They were dead. They were separated. Their sins had separated between them and their God. But they are given, I think they were given a meeting place, because we find out, it says, and after the passing, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, and to Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So God had now had provided a meeting place for them. Or they could come, you know, and address God. They're going to an altar. They're going to an altar. Now, I don't know if that started with them or if Adam had taught this to them. I tend to think that Adam taught this to them. And we can look back, because what did God do? Hey, when they admitted they finally admitted they had sinned and they were naked before the Lord, what did God do? He made them coverings. He said, your fig leaves ain't getting it, you know? Your work is not good enough. It's not covering up what you've done. I'm going to give you a covering for your sin. And he took the skins of animals, and so blood was shed. You know, there was blood. And so now we find them, they're coming to an altar to, you know, find God. So I think that Adam has told them what God did for them, how they had sinned, now how they were in sin, how God made them a covering. Boy, they were probably taken when that one wore out. What would they have to do? They'd have to go kill another animal, make a new covering. It was an altar. You know, I imagine for a process of time there, everything about clothing and covering themselves probably they were probably looking towards God. I would think that they would be, wouldn't you? I mean, just looking at what God had done to make them a covering and killing that animal. I imagine every time they clothed themselves, they thought about what God had done for them, how he had covered them and covered their sins through clothing. Now we see that. Now, we see in the case with Cain, because he was a tiller of the ground, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, what he had done was, he came to offer what he had done. He came to offer the work of his own hands. And we know that God said that ain't going to cut it. We know that in religion today, that's what religion is all about working, doing good works to make yourself acceptable unto God. And he went out there and he tilled the ground. I heard some guy say one time, he said, well, you know, he didn't bring of the best like his brother did. That's the reason why it wasn't acceptable. Well, I don't think that had anything to do with it. If it had been, I believe God would have said so. But what did God say? God told him plainly, he said he had not respect unto his countenance. And the Lord said to Cain, why are thou wroth? Why thy countenance fail? Thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And I believe he was talking about, hey, look, a little lamb or goat or whatever it was, he said, it's there at your door, just take it and bring it. You have the mastery over it, and you offer it unto me and make things right. But he would not. He become wroth. And what I'd like to say, and one of the things I'd like to bring out, is in this first family, you have siblings. They have two brothers now, and a lot of times, and I know, how many of you here have had raised two or three or four children? Raise your hands if you've raised that many. Okay. They all got along perfectly, didn't they? I mean, they all got along perfectly, didn't they? Huh?
About 5 seconds.
Yeah, till they got together. As long as you kept one in one room, one another, they get along fine. What we see here in this first family, we all have to face. Children don't always get along. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be problems. If we think that our families are going to be problem-free, we're wrong. We're deceiving ourselves. You're going to have problems. You're going to have families. You're going to have children. You're going to have problems. You're going to have people. You're going to have problems. Hey, you're going to have a church family. You're going to have problems. I tell you what, I guarantee you there's people in here would disagree with some of Brother Jim's political views. Wouldn't you say that's a possibility? You don't think so? Yeah, okay. Pray for this man, okay? He's delusional. The paper's right, you're delusional. he knows better. We're not going to always agree inside the church. Now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to do like Cain did? Now, I know that what Cain did, you cannot. Only way you can blame Adam and Eve is because of their initial sin. How many have ever had a child to throw up your sin to you? How many have ever pointed out, well, you pointed out something and they remind you, well, you have, especially when they get in them teen years, well, I've seen you, or even as adults. Maybe you try to point out something and they remind you of your failures. Well, I may be the only oddball in here because I've had that happen before. And you know what I've always said? You're right. I've failed. There have been times I failed you. Adam and Eve would have had to told their children, say, yes, we failed. We messed up. We did wrong. He said, now, so what are you going to do? You going to learn from our mistakes? And do what's right now, or are you gonna follow us and make it even worse? What you gonna do? I think Eve has she's kind of got on point here. You know, she's looking toward God. She's saying, hey, I've got me a man from the Lord. I'm hoping this is the one that's going to make a difference. How many of us as parents have had children to really, really disappoint us? How many of us parents have had children that's broke our hearts at times? Keep on loving them. They break your hearts. They hurt you. You've hurt them. They hurt you. What are we going to do? What are we going to do as parents? I know what some parents do. Some parents get mad at their children. You know what I mean? They'll get mad at their children, hold a grudge against their children. Break off fellowship. I got something going on in my family right now. It's that kind of thing. I think as soon as I got this on my mind about trying to do something from the family, I become a target. It's like, man, the devil said, boy, I'm gonna throw this at you, I'm gonna throw that at you, you know? And right now I got some things going on. It makes you think your family has lost their minds, you know? What is wrong? Problems between in my wife's family, now it's beginning to affect our family. And what am I going to do? Am I going to get upset like they're upset, or am I going to go to my knees and pray and try to be what God has told me to be? And that's what? A peacemaker. A restorer. Somebody, hey, I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I found it right now. I mean, and on our side of family, I'm the patriarch. I'm the guy that's, you know, that's trying to look after, you know, what my family's going to do in the future. Are they going to be successful? Are they going to fail? Are they going to flounder? Are they going to get away from church? What are they going to do? And I feel like it's my job, my position. A couple years ago, I remember one of my sisters got angry with me, bad angry with me. And I mean, buddy, she'd done marked it down. She was breaking fellowship. Wasn't gonna get together, do what you want to do. I went to her and tried to restore that. And I was able to do that. But you know what it took? That too, but it took this right here. I had to humble myself before her. Had I done anything to her, really? I hadn't. I hadn't really done anything. Didn't make no difference. Jesus Christ hadn't done anything wrong either, but he humbled himself. Huh? And if we're going to have the right kind of families, and we're going to be the right kind of leaders and as grandfathers and as fathers, we're going to have to find ourselves humbling ourselves when it isn't our fault. We're going to have to take on ourselves maybe the sins of our family and take it to ourselves and take it to our own breast and suffer it and try to restore as our Lord and Savior is done. Now, you're going to have problems in your family, and it ain't necessarily your fault. You're trying to do what's right. Yes, you've messed up. Maybe you even confessed to your children. I've messed up before. I've made mistakes, and maybe they throw it up to your face. But you got to remind them what they do now is their decision, and you are going to answer for it. Especially if you done made things right. You confessed your sin. You've done all you can do, have you not? Yes, maybe I failed you, and I'm sorry that I failed you. You've done all you could do. You put the ball back in their court. What are you going to do now? Are you going to, do the right thing? What you going to do? Well, Cain, he decided to do the wrong thing, didn't he? Lost his temper, ends up killing his brother. Could you imagine how Eve felt at that moment? I've got me a man from the Lord. And the man I got me from the Lord is a murderer. Huh? He murdered his brother. I've lost the ones that I hoped might been our salvation. Now it's come to wreck and ruin. Now, I don't know how you would have felt, but I think I'd have been tempted to say, what's the use? Do I want to have any more? I mean, I've lost one. He's on the run now. He's on the run. I got another one. We just placed him in the ground. We just buried him, and his brother's on the run, fleeing from the face of all those that would now take his life for the crime that he's committed. But I think she could still hear the word of God. I think Adam could still hear the word of God. God hadn't changed, had he? No matter what our children do, God hasn't changed. And what He's told us and what God has given us, and He's given us a stewardship. Just like He gave Adam. Are we going to fail of that stewardship? Or are we going to say, okay, God, we got problems. We understand this life. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be problems. There's going to be heartaches. But I'm not going to quit. We got too many quitters today. We got a lot of people that are quitting. Got them quitting on God. We got preachers quitting preaching. Hey, we got deacons quitting being deacons. As far as I'm concerned, that's a life appointment, you know. I mean, that's something you should be a deacon from the moment you become a deacon to the day you die. You're there. You're a servant. To the day you die. Pastor. Ain't no time to quit just because there's problems. Maybe because you got church problems or you got problems within your own family. A lot of people will give up on church because they'll have some problems within their parents. There used to be a time, you know, if a pastor had one wayward child, he would think that disqualified him and quit the ministry. The Bible didn't say in having all faithful children, does it? It says having faithful children. If you did a good job raising them and you did the right thing and one of them goes the wrong way, that don't disqualify you. It might disqualify him, but it don't disqualify you. So you don't quit just because your children make mistakes. You keep going on, and that's what they did. We know then their family suffered great hurt. Now, it goes on, it said, this is the book of the generation of Adam, the day that God, in chapter 5, God created man in the likeness of God, created he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them, called their name Adam in the day where they were created. It said Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Notice this now. When God created Adam, he was made in the likeness of who? God. But now he's had a son, and his name is Seth. Now, whose image is he in? Adam's. It's fallen. He's fallen. He's in a fallen condition. Now, we're saved, but we're living in a fallen world. And our children, every child that we have born, they are in the image of Adam. Hey, you say, but I'm saved. I'm a Christian. My child is in the image of Adam. He's not in the image of God. He's in the image of Adam. He is a fallen creature. And that robe that you're wearing this morning is fallen. It's going to give us problems all the days of our lives. There's a warfare that's going on. And when you got children, and you have children, and they grow up, and until they get saved, guess what? Who's their father? Adam. Who's their God? It's the God of this world. And the only thing that breaks that is us raise them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. We throw a wall up and get God's help. We get God's help in this matter of raising them. If we don't, we're in a lot of trouble because they are fallen creatures. All of our children are born in this world in the image of Adam, and without God's help, they're going to go the way of this world. They're going to go the way of the God of this world. They're going to follow after Satan. We have got to get back as families to realize that this is a bloody war. I think we take it too nonchalant. I think I do. I don't know about how y'all are. I get so busy and you know, the everyday things of life, sometimes I forget that there's an enemy called Satan as a roaring lion. He's walking about, and you know what he wants? He wants to devour. He wants to eat up my children and my grandchildren. He wants to lay waste to my church. He wants to destroy my neighbors, the ones I'm supposed to love and you know, and as myself. Most of us can't stand, I mean, we come to a point, most people can't stand their neighbors and don't get along with their neighbors, don't want to have nothing to do with their neighbors. They've set up fences to keep their neighbors over there while we're over here. And we have got to understand that we're in a war, and we've been given a commission in this warfare, and we've been given a stewardship in this warfare, which is the Word of God, and it's the only thing that has the power to drive back the devil. You ain't got the power. I ain't got the power. It's not in me. The power's in the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, what was it that he did? Everything that he did on his earth, he did it through the Word of God. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. He said, what I hear from my Father, that's what I do. And I can't do anything else. Are we hearing? Are we taking the time to hear from God our Father and training up our young people, hiding the Word of God? You're born of the Word of God. If our children who are made in the image, they're born in the image of Adam, they got to have the Word of God. We can't take this nonchalantly. It's a war. It's a war. And we got to look at it as such. But I'm telling you, we know, boy, the devil said, I'm going to put a stop this thing right quick, buddy. He jumps up. He found a place where he could get into Cain, and he got in him. He said, I'm going to kill that Udden. I'm going to get him to kill him because he's walking in faith. I got to destroy that and killed him. He said, I got one up. God said, yeah, but I got a nothing. I got a nothing coming, you know, because Eve and Adam didn't quit. You're going to have problems with families. Are you going to quit? You're going to have problems with church families. Are we going to quit? How many of you have ever been discouraged, felt like quitting? I've got all them heads going up now. Y'all are a lot like me. Sometimes I think it's just me, but I see all these heads going up now. That's me. I have problems with this. I want to quit. Well, sometimes you get to the point and say, what's the use of fighting? What's the use of fighting? Because I keep messing up anyway. Just give in. Just go down the rapid. You know, go over the waterfall, drown, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Yeah, but what about your family then? What about your church family then? What about your stewardship? What about our Lord and Savior that we say we love if we just give up? Or if we just lay back and take our ease, we've got to understand that this is a battle. We can see this all through the scriptures. We can see that, hey, you know, we know that after, and we can read through this lineage, it says, and he begets sons and daughters in the days of Adam, or 800 years he begets sons and daughters. All the days that Adam lived were 913 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalaleel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalaleel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And we know a little bit about Enoch. We know that he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, I don't know if any of these others, you know, had a relationship with God. The Bible don't say, does it? It don't really say that they, if they had a, but one thing about it, God said the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head, you know, of the serpent. And that's coming. So each one of them had a part in this. And now Enoch, this preacher of righteousness, you can read how he said, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment and justice. You know what he's telling? He said, the seed's coming. That's what he's preaching. The seed is coming. And it's going to bring justice and judgment upon the earth. And he's going to destroy the works of the devil. And he's preaching this. And when is he doing it? In the midst of a crooked and a perverse world, because men are falling away from God. We don't, like I said, I don't know if any of these walk with God or not. It doesn't say. But we know Enoch does. And we know that after that, it said, but in chapter 6, it said, it began to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born in them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that the sons of God came into the daughters of men. They bare children to them. And the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. That's Satan bruising the feet. He's about his wickedness, but God has got a man. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord, which he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I'm created. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, Noah could have said, it ain't worth it. Look what happens. Man produce, they're wicked. Now God is telling me that he's going to drown them all. But he didn't. Instead, he heard the word of the Lord and he obeyed it. The word of God has the power. It can make the difference. It takes the word of the Lord. Our stewardship, I read it last week and I'm going to close with this. What are we going to do? Hey, the world is waxing worse and worse. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. The Bible said it was in the days of Noah. what it said, the thoughts and intents of men's heart were just evil continually. Wickedness is going to fill the earth. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know about the explosion of sexual perverseness that's in this world today. Not just homosexuals, but people sitting in church every week whose hearts and minds is corrupted through perverseness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1, he tells us we've been sent. It says, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have preached grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom also ye are the called of Jesus Christ. To whom that being wrong, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, peace. What he's saying there, he said, you got the same calling I've got. I've given it to you. What you going to do with it? Well, I'm out of time. But what are we going to do with it? Yeah, the world's bad. I know how bad. Man, my wife comes home and tells me the horror stories that's in our youth today. I'm talking about little ones. And the things that they got to face at home. What's she going to do? She going to quit and give up on them? I'll tell you what. There's a bunch of them. That's what they're doing. They're quitting, giving it up. What are we going to do? Are we going to be like, you know what? You take a really dark night. You get into a dark room and strike a match. And boy, how bright that match is in that darkness. So don't make a difference how dark the day is. Are we shining? Are we taking the Word of God and let it shine forth, making a difference? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.